Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hi, I'm Terry Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is designed to serve as a companion piece to the book and its narrative. It aims to enrich the experience of the original work without the intention of infringing upon any copyrights held by the author or publisher. We have taken care to respect the intellectual property rights associated with the book, ensuring that this content aligns with the spirit of the original material while adhering to legal standards.
The Village Spectre by Gianna G. Maniego. From True Philippine Ghost Stories, Book 1, pages 60 to 67. Have you ever wondered what lurks in the shadows of a sleepy village? Where the veil between the living and the dead seems paper thin? What if the tranquility of rural life masks a horrifying secret? One that comes alive when darkness falls? Tonight, we delve into a chilling tale that explores the consequences of collective inaction in the face of tragedy, and the haunting legacy left behind by a woman betrayed not just by her husband, but by an entire community. I am Mark, and you are listening to True Philippine Ghost Stories Podcast. Nestled in the hinterlands of Cebu lies the sleepy village of Caymigan. At first glance, it appears to be the quintessential rural idyll, a place where one might escape the chaos of city life and breathe in the pure, unpolluted air of the countryside. But, as we'll soon discover, appearances can be deceiving, and even the most peaceful settings can harbor dark secrets. Caymigan's tranquil facade belies a sinister undercurrent that emerges as night falls. The village transforms from a picture of serenity to a place of terror, filled with ghostly moans and hair-raising wails that pierce the darkness. These are not mere figments of imagination, or the whispers of wind through bamboo groves. No, these are the anguished cries of a tormented soul, forever bound to the place of her brutal demise. Our story revolves around Clarita, a devoted wife and mother whose tragic fate would forever change the face of Caymigan. Through the eyes of Layla, a former house help who once called this village home, we'll unravel the horrifying events that led to Clarita's death and the supernatural aftermath that continues to haunt the village to this day. Before we delve into the heart of our ghostly tale, let's take a moment to understand the life Clarita led before tragedy struck. She was married to Reynaldo, known to all as Naldo, a dock worker at the piers of Cebu. Their modest home sat on the outskirts of Caymigan, nestled between the house of the village Albulario, a traditional healer, and Layla's family home. Naldo was the epitome of physical strength, a man whose muscular frame allowed him to shoulder the weight of two rice sacks simultaneously. His work at the docks was grueling, but it provided for his family, Clarita and their three children, Alita, Buboy, and Cardito. To supplement their meager income, Clarita prepared kakanin, rice cakes, and banana cues for their older children to sell in the afternoons. Life wasn't easy for the family, but they persevered. Their needs were simple, and they found contentment in their daily routines and each other's company. Little did they know that their world was about to be shattered by a cruel twist of fate. On what seemed like an ordinary day at the docks, disaster struck. As Naldo hefted a sack of rice destined for Manila, he heard a shout. In that split second of distraction, tragedy unfolded. A heavy iron hook, part of the ship's rigging, came crashing down with devastating force, striking Naldo squarely on the head. The impact was catastrophic. Naldo's skull cracked open, and those who witnessed the accident were certain they had just seen a man die. Blood poured from the wound as Naldo lay unconscious, his life hanging by a thread. His fellow dock workers, shocked but quick to act, rushed him to the nearest hospital. But the local facility was ill-equipped to handle such a severe injury. They could only provide basic first aid, attempting to stanch the flow of blood from Naldo's grievous head wound. It was clear that more advanced medical intervention was needed, and urgently. Naldo was swiftly transferred to the general hospital in Cebu City, where a team of surgeons fought to save his life. Against all odds, Naldo survived the ordeal. It seemed like a miracle, a testament to human resilience and the skill of his medical team. When he was deemed well enough to return home, his family and neighbors breathed a collective sigh of relief. Naldo was back, seemingly none the worse for wear, save for the large bandage that adorned his head. But appearances can be deceiving, and the true extent of Naldo's injuries would soon become horrifyingly clear. The blow to Naldo's head had done far more damage than anyone initially realized. While he had survived the accident, the man who returned to Caymegin was fundamentally changed. The once strong and dependable breadwinner of the family now suffered from constant headaches and alarming memory lapses. There were times when he failed to recognize even his own wife and children. A heartbreaking development for a family that had once been so close-knit. But the memory issues were just the beginning. Naldo began experiencing terrifying delusions that would drastically alter his behavior. He would scream and shout, convinced that demons were pursuing him. In his altered state of mind, everyone around him became a potential threat. A demon in disguise, waiting to attack. These outbursts, initially shocking but manageable, grew increasingly violent and frequent as time passed. The neighbors, once sympathetic to Naldo's plight, began to worry. They advised Clarita to have her husband confined to a hospital, fearing that his condition would worsen and that he might turn violent towards his own family. But Clarita found herself in an impossible situation. Since Naldo's accident, she had taken on the role of the family's sole breadwinner, working as the village washerwoman and selling ulam at lunchtime. She could barely make ends meet. The prospect of paying for Naldo's hospitalization in a mental health facility was simply beyond her means. As the weeks passed, Naldo's behavior became increasingly erratic and dangerous. In one horrifying incident, he attempted to attack his daughter Aline with a kitchen knife, accusing her of trying to poison his food. The terrified child managed to escape, fleeing to the safety of Layla's house. From that day forward, she refused to serve food to her father, too traumatized by the experience. In another chilling episode, Naldo threw his son Boo Boy down the stairs, convinced that the boy was plotting to kill him. The escalating violence within the household created an atmosphere of constant fear and tension. Soon, Clarita found herself isolated in her struggle. She became the only person who dared to approach Naldo, as everyone else, including their own children, stayed away out of fear for their safety. The once happy family home had become a prison of terror, with Clarita trapped between her love for her husband and the very real danger he now posed. The situation reached its breaking point one fateful night, when Naldo fell ill with a high fever. For 3 days and nights, he shivered and moaned piteously, his mind further warped by the delirium of his illness. Throughout this ordeal, Clarita remained vigilant, not daring to sleep a wink as she tended to her delirious husband. Clarita's sleeplessness was driven by more than just concern for Naldo's health. She had sent their children to stay with Layla, unable to guarantee their safety in their own home. More pressingly, though she couldn't bring herself to admit it aloud, Clarita feared for her own life. She believed that Naldo had completely lost his grip on reality and could no longer recognize anyone, not even her. The constant vigilance was necessary. She had to be ready to defend herself at any moment. But after 3 sleepless nights, exhaustion began to take its toll. As Clarita's eyelids grew heavy, she started to nod off, her body desperate for rest. It was in this vulnerable moment that tragedy struck. A blood-curdling scream jolted Clarita awake. "You animal! You devil's spawn! I'm gonna kill you!" The words, spat out in a voice twisted by madness, were followed by the glint of steel as Naldo lunged at her with a meat knife. Clarita barely had time to react. She managed to deflect the blow, but not before the blade sliced deep into her forearm. Blood poured from the wound as she pleaded with her husband, her voice rising in desperation as she called out to her neighbors for help. "Naldo, don't! It's me, Clarita, your wife. I'm not the devil. Help, somebody. Naldo is trying to kill me. Help me!" But her cries fell on deaf ears. The neighbors, paralyzed by fear, remained locked in their homes, leaving Clarita to face this nightmare alone. As Naldo continued his relentless assault, Clarita felt her strength ebbing away. In a desperate move, she managed to shove Naldo aside and make a break for the door. She reached the stairs, hope flaring in her chest, only to have it extinguished as Naldo grabbed her hair, yanking her back with brutal force. Clarita stumbled, landing hard on her back. In that moment, as she looked up at the man she had once loved, she saw no recognition in his eyes, only a crazed, murderous intent. Naldo, consumed by fever and delusion, pounced on her and began stabbing. Once, twice, and then too many times to count. With each thrust of the blade, Clarita felt her life slipping away. It was then that a glimmer of hope appeared. Renato, Clarita's uncle, had heard her cries and rushed to help. He managed to knock Naldo away, but the crazed man, fueled by adrenaline and madness, was twice as strong. As the two men wrestled, Clarita seized her chance. Summoning the last reserves of her strength, she crawled down the stairs and out onto the street. Her voice, now weak and fading, continued to call for help, but the response she received was heartbreaking. Doors remained shut, windows stayed closed. The entire village, it seemed, had turned its back on her in her moment of greatest need. In a final, desperate attempt, Clarita dragged herself to the Sari Sari store across the road. With the last of her strength, she rapped on the closed window, her voice barely above a whisper. "Help me, please, I beg of you." But her pleas went unanswered. The window remained resolutely shut. With no other option, Clarita began the agonizing crawl towards the Albulario's house, leaving a trail of blood in her wake. She reached the steps, her body finally giving out as she slumped down, her strength completely spent. Meanwhile, Renato had finally managed to subdue Naldo, knocking him unconscious with a chair and using torn sheets to bind him. But when he rushed out to find Clarita, it was already too late. He found her lifeless body on the steps of the Albulario's house, her life cruelly cut short by 21 stab wounds, including a fatal blow to her heart. The tragedy sent shockwaves through the village of Carmigan. The community mourned the loss of Clarita, a woman known for her kindness and dedication to her family. But beneath the sorrow lay a deep-seated guilt, a collective shame, born from their failure to act when Clarita needed them most. In the wake of the murder, Clarita's children were sent to live with relatives in Cagayan de Oro, their childhood innocence shattered by the horrific events they had witnessed. As for Naldo, he was finally apprehended by the police, who arrived on the scene after a neighbor had run to the nearest town to summon help. But even in death, it seemed that justice would elude Clarita. When Naldo stood trial for his wife's murder, he pleaded insanity. Instead of facing the full weight of the law for his heinous act, he was sent to a mental institution, the electric chair, which many felt he deserved, remained unused. As time passed, the controversy surrounding Clarita's death began to fade. Life in Camigen slowly returned to its normal rhythms, the villagers eager to put the horrific incident behind them. But little did they know that their ordeal was far from over.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
It began on an ordinary night as the village of Camigen slept peacefully. The first sign that something was amiss was a strange sound, the unmistakable drag of feet along the street. The eerie noise stopped in front of the Sari Sari store, the very place where Clarita had begged for help on the night of her death. Then came the sobbing. It started softly, almost imperceptible, but gradually grew louder and louder until it became a steady, heart-wrenching wail. The voice that rang out through the night was hauntingly familiar to the villagers. "Help me, please. I beg of you." It was Clarita's voice, unmistakable in its anguish, repeating the same desperate plea she had made on the night of her murder. The sound sent chills down the spines of the villagers, their hair standing on end as they recognized the voice of the woman they had failed. A few brave souls dared to peek out of their windows, but what they saw made their blood run cold. There, on the bench in front of the Sari Sari store, sat an apparition that defied belief. It was the ghostly figure of a woman, her face contorted in pain, blood dripping from countless wounds on her body. The blood left a silvery trail in the moonlight, a chilling reminder of Clarita's final desperate crawl. As the villagers watched in horror, the specter slowly rose from the bench and began to drag itself towards the Herbolario's house. Upon reaching the steps, the very place where Clarita had drawn her last breath, the ghost draped itself over them, its moans and lamentations echoing through the night. The villagers found no rest that night, the wailing continuing unabated until the first light of dawn. Only then did the ghostly visitation cease, leaving behind no physical trace of the night's terrifying events. As the sun rose, the villagers cautiously emerged from their homes, exchanging fearful glances and whispered accounts of what they had witnessed. In an attempt to appease the restless spirit, they decided to offer prayers for Clarita's soul, but their efforts were in vain. As darkness fell the following evening, the haunting began anew. Once again, the sound of dragging feet heralded the arrival of Clarita's ghost, followed by her mournful wails. It became clear to the villagers that this was no isolated incident. It was to be their nightly penance for abandoning Clarita in her hour of need. The nightly visitations of Clarita's ghost fundamentally altered life in Kamigan. The once peaceful village became a place of fear and sleepless nights, its residents haunted not just by the spectral apparition, but by their own guilt and regret. Many families, unable to bear the nightly torment, chose to leave Kamigan. Among them was Layla's family, who moved away in search of peace. But even as they distanced themselves physically from the haunted village, the memory of Clarita's ghost lingered, a chilling reminder of the consequences of inaction in the face of evil. Those who remained in Kamigan found themselves living in a state of perpetual dread. As darkness fell each evening, the villagers would huddle in their homes, windows shuttered and doors locked, bracing themselves for the nightly visitation of Clarita's ghost. The haunting took a toll on the community in more ways than one. The once thriving village began to wither as families moved away, unable to bear the constant reminder of their collective failure. Those who stayed found themselves grappling with insomnia, anxiety, and a pervasive sense of guilt that seemed to permeate the very air they breathed. Analysis: the layers of horror in The Village Spectre. Gianna G. Mariego's The Village Spectre is a masterful exploration of supernatural horror intertwined with very real human terrors. Let's delve deeper into the various elements that make this story so chilling and impactful. Narrative techniques and horror elements. The author employs several effective narrative techniques to build and maintain tension throughout the story. Foreshadowing. The story opens with the description of Kamigan as a peaceful village, but immediately undercuts this with the ominous line, "Except that this tranquil old hamlet comes alive with ghostly moans and hair-raising wails as soon as darkness descends on it." This sets the stage for the horror to come, creating an atmosphere of unease from the very beginning. Gradual build-up. The narrative slowly escalates the horror, starting with Naldo's accident and his subsequent mental deterioration. This gradual progression allows readers to become invested in the characters before the true horror unfolds. Vivid imagery. Maniega uses graphic descriptions to bring the horror to life. For instance, the depiction of Clarita's final moments is particularly harrowing. Clarita crawled to the Herbolario's house, leaving a trail of blood on the street. This visceral imagery makes the tragedy feel immediate and real. The twist. While ghost stories often end with the appearance of the spirit, this tale subverts expectations by having the haunting begin after we've witnessed the full tragedy of Clarita's death. This structure makes the ghostly visitations feel like a natural, almost inevitable consequence of the villagers' actions, Filipino cultural context and beliefs. The story is deeply rooted in Filipino culture and beliefs, which adds layers of meaning and authenticity to the narrative. Community dynamics. The story highlights the importance of community in Filipino culture, making the villagers' failure to help Clarita all the more shocking and tragic. Belief in the supernatural. The matter-of-fact way in which the villagers accept Clarita's ghost reflects the widespread belief in supernatural phenomena in Filipino culture. The role of the herbolario. The presence of a village healer, or herbolario, is a common element in rural Filipino communities, representing traditional medicine and spiritual practices. concept of penance, the idea that the village's haunting is a form of penance for their inaction, aligns with Filipino Catholic beliefs about punishment and atonement for sins, psychological aspects and universal themes. Beyond the supernatural elements, the village specter explores several psychological and universal themes. The bystander effect. The village's failure to help Clarita despite hearing her cries is a chilling example of the bystander effect, where individuals are less likely to offer help when others are present. Guilt and regret. The story powerfully illustrates how unresolved guilt can haunt individuals and communities, both literally and figuratively. The fragility of community. The tale shows how quickly a community can unravel when faced with fear and tragedy, highlighting the delicate nature of social bonds. Mental health stigma. Naldo's descent into mental illness and the community's response to it reflect the stigma and lack of understanding often associated with mental health issues. Connections to other ghost stories. The village specter shares elements with other famous ghost stories in folklore. The vengeful spirit, Clarita's ghost, returning to haunt those who failed her, is reminiscent of vengeful spirits in many cultures, such as the Japanese Onryo or the European Banshee. The haunted village, the concept of an entire community being haunted for its sins, is seen in other works like Shirley Jackson's The Lottery or Stephen King's Salem's Lot. The tragic backstory. Many ghost stories feature spirits with tragic pasts, unable to rest due to the circumstances of their death, similar to Clarita's fate. Critical discussion, storytelling effectiveness and impact. Gianna G. Maniego's The Village Spectre is a powerful and effective ghost story that leaves a lasting impact on readers. Let's examine its strengths and areas for improvement. Strengths. Character development. The author skillfully develops Clarita and Naldo's characters, making their tragedy feel personal and affecting. Pacing. The story's pacing is excellent, gradually building tension before the explosive climax of Clarita's murder. Cultural authenticity. The incorporation of Filipino cultural elements adds depth and authenticity to the narrative. Moral complexity. The story avoids simple black and white morality, presenting a nuanced situation where fear and inaction lead to tragedy. Areas for improvement. Secondary characters. While Clarita and Naldo are well developed, some secondary characters, like the children and neighbors, could be fleshed out more. Aftermath exploration. The story could delve deeper into the long-term effects of the haunting on the village and its inhabitants. Maybe I have it figured out. Naldo's more perspective. Including more of Naldo's perspective during his mental decline could add another layer of complexity to the story. Comparison with other entries in the series. Sense of disturbance. Compared to other stories in the True Philippine Ghost Story series, The Village Spectre stands out for its focus on communal guilt and the consequences of inaction. While many entries in the series deal with individual encounters with the supernatural, this tale expands its scope to encompass an entire village, making it particularly memorable and impactful. Closing thoughts and rating. The Village Spectre is a haunting tale that lingers in the mind long after reading. Its blend of supernatural horror, psychological depth, and cultural authenticity makes it a standout entry in the True Philippine Ghost Stories series. Rating: 4 out of 5 stars. This story earns a strong 4-star rating for its compelling narrative, effective use of horror elements, and exploration of complex themes. The vivid portrayal of Clarita's tragic fate and the subsequent haunting creates a chilling atmosphere that keeps readers engaged throughout. The story's grounding in Filipino culture adds depth and authenticity, while its exploration of universal themes like guilt and community responsibility and the consequences of inaction gives it broader appeal. The only factor preventing a perfect score is the potential for deeper exploration of secondary characters and the long-term effects of the haunting on the village. Despite these minor areas for improvement, The Village Spectre remains a powerful and memorable ghost story that exemplifies the best of what the True Philippine Ghost Stories series has to offer. As we conclude this chilling tale, I can't help but wonder, how would we react if faced with a similar situation? Would we have the courage to act when others remain frozen in fear? Or would we too become bystanders, unknowingly setting the stage for our own haunting? I'm Mark, and you've been listening to the True Philippine Ghost Stories podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to follow, subscribe, and share the podcast with your friends. Don't forget to enable auto-downloads in your settings to ensure you never miss an episode. Join us next time as we delve into The House That Cries in the Night by Anonymous. Until then, keep your lights on and your wits about you. The spirits are always watching.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hi, I'm Terry Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.